brazy, do the mumble like a crazy rhythm.
Welcome to another episode of the Electronic Game Reviews and More podcast. I'm your host, Joe, and today I will be reviewing Resident Evil 7 for PlayStation 4. So why don't we start out with the basic premise? Resident Evil 7 came out for the PlayStation 4 on January 24th, 2017. Metascore reviews have it currently at a 96%. The user score is currently at 7.9. The game was developed and published by Capcom, and the game is also available for Xbox One and PC. In 2018, Capcom released Resident Evil Biohazard, the cloud version, which was only released in Japan in around May 2018. Players had access to the first 15 minutes of the game for free, and they can continue playing it afterwards by purchasing a pass, allowing unlimited play for 180 days. I found that pretty interesting, too, that Japan got a cloud version and the US didn't. I wonder if it's just an infrastructure thing or if it was maybe a testing search situation where they wanted to see how good the quality would be. Because Resident Evil 7 is a very graphically intense game. The graphics are very realistic. So I find that very interesting that they did a Japan-only release for that one. Perhaps it was also a server issue. Maybe they were thinking too many people would buy it, crash the server. I don't know. But yeah, there was a Switch port in Japan only. Other than that, though, that's pretty much the basic premise of the game. Continue on, and I'll move over to the plot. Welcome to the plot portion of the show. In Resident Evil 7, you play as Ethan Winters. He's just an average guy. I will be talking in the third person for this character. So Ethan's wife, Mia, has been missing for 3 years, and somehow he finds evidence that she is located in Dolby, Louisiana, like the middle of nowhere. Ethan makes his way there, and he finds his wife in an abandoned basement. In the beginning, she's kind of like happy that she's saved, but the weird thing is that she doesn't seem like she's very wanting to leave. She gets aggressive, even, not herself at all. And at some point, she tries to kill Ethan. Ethan ends up killing her in the struggle, but something happens, something very strange. Mia comes back to life. Ethan tries to escape his resurrected wife, but instead, he comes into contact with the family that owns the property that Mia's being held in. And it's like this insanely huge mansion with like outer grounds and a greenhouse and like harbor. And like, it's just humongous. And Ethan gets into contact with the family. And they do these like horrible, grotesque things to him, like chop his hand off and basically put like a watch on him that like monitors his heartbeat. They make him play death trap games, and they even like battle him in different rooms of the house. So there's several family members that are part of this property. Jack is the patriarch of the family, and he owns the property. He's kind of the first boss or the first tyrant character that you'll come across in the game. Then you'll have Marjorie or Margaret, and that's Jack's wife. Lucas is the son. And then you'll see the grandmother, who's in a rocking chair and a wheelchair, and she kind of like is around the mansion in really awkward places. Each of the characters are equally horrifying in their own way, and they also kind of have their own associated challenges. And yeah, that's pretty much the basic plot of Resident Evil 7. I don't want to go too deeply into it, because then I'll spoil it. To be honest, I kind of spoiled the first, like, 20 to 30 minutes of gameplay. But yeah, that's pretty much the basic premise of the game. Continue on, and I'll move over to the gameplay. Welcome to the Resident Evil 7 gameplay portion of the show. The gameplay in Resident Evil 7 is drastically different from previous entries in the series, most notably Resident Evil 6, 5, 4, and pretty much those three specifically. I've recently picked up Resident Evil 6 just to have something to compare it to, and I have played 5 and 4, but I wanted to compare it specifically to the previous entry, 6. And there's definitely less of a focus on action and arcadey stuff, and more of a focus on exploration, puzzle solving, item finding, and so on and so forth. One of the first things you'll notice in Resident Evil 7 is that it's not like Resident Evil 6, where you're selecting a campaign and you're selecting a character. It's one character, one campaign, and you have this giant open world mansion with all these other places, and there's backtracking. You'll have locked doors, which require different keys. You'll have puzzles that, like, involve manipulating 3D objects in an object space, or some minor logical puzzles. You'll have cages and chests containing locked guns that you can find. It's very much, if you listen to my Resident Evil 2 Remastered review, it very much is similar to that. It seems like Capcom is going back to their roots and going more for the exploration-based gameplay, where you're traveling in a semi-open world environment, and kind of like this, almost like a Metroidvania, where you're just backtracking a lot to find what you need to find. Environment-wise, the game takes place entirely on this property, this giant mansion, and there's other segmented areas, and each family member in the game of the group kind of has their own, like, place that they call their own. So, like, Jack's area, the patriarch of the family, his is, like, the main mansion grounds. So as you explore the mansion, sometimes you'll be walking down a hallway and minding your own business, and Jack will appear out of nowhere, and you kind of have to turn away and run, and you could try taking him down, but your best bet is just to run. And then Marge is the greenhouse, so you'll have to experience, like, her in there. And then Lucas is, like, a side house or something. And then the grandmother kind of floats everywhere. She's not really evil, but she's just creepy. And pretty much most of the game, like I said, is an open world. You'll have lots of backtracking and lots of puzzle solving. And one of the things I really love about Resident Evil, especially these games, is that the game rewards you for all the backtracking you'll do. So if you kind of notice a locked door somewhere and it requires, like, a specific key, and you backtrack and you use it there, you might find, like, a backpack that'll give you, you know, 4 more inventory slots or 2 inventory slots or whatever. Or you might get rewarded with a brand new gun you can use. Or you might get awarded with a new item that you can use. Like, that's the one thing I love about the Resident Evil open world exploration, that you're always rewarded with something unexpected that really helps you later on and makes the game a lot more effective and easier to maneuver. What makes this game very different than, say, Resident Evil 6, 5, 4, and so on, is that it takes place entirely in the first-person perspective, which is new for Resident Evil. This camera integration is very new, it's very intimate, and it feels like a haunted house. A good example I can give you of the camera integration for this game is one of the first boss fights. It's actually noted, it's very common, it's advertised a lot. It's one of the first boss fights is a fight with Jack, the patriarch, in the garage, and what happens is that you basically, he's coming at you with a weapon, and you have to run and get the car keys to the car so that you can open the door, start it, and try to just run him over inside this really cramped garage. And because the game takes place in the whole first-person perspective, you're not really, like, seeing yourself get hurt or dodge attacks, but, like, when I was playing this, I was like flinching and like dodging my face to like move against Jack's attacks, because I felt like, because I'm in the first person perspective, it's like this borderline virtual reality feel. You really do feel like you're in this moment and you're trying to avoid this character that's coming after you. Where if this game would have been in a shoulder view, where we're kind of like looking behind Ethan's shoulders, I think we would have had a different experience, and it would have taken it, I think it would have taken the horror element out of it. At least for this game specifically, because Resident Evil 2 Remastered, which came out after this game, it proved that you can be that a Resident Evil game can be just as terrifying from a shoulder perspective as well as a first person perspective, and that both perspectives can equally give you the same output of horror. And it's just a different way to control the game and a different way to tell a story or tell a narrative. And this boss fight with Jack is very scary. I mean, honestly, every boss fight in this game is horrifying, especially in the first-person perspective. And it feels like the stakes are higher because you're kind of, like, in this new camera angle. And it's just, it's horrifying. Especially because you're seeing Ethan's body when he gets hurt. And you'll see, like, the cuts and scrapes and bruises and blood, and it's just, it's crazy. By the way, I'm a little congested, so you might hear me cough. I apologize. But, yeah, the game is very grotesque in a lot of ways, and it definitely, in that first-person perspective, it's absolutely insane. And, yeah, that's pretty much the basic gameplay of Resident Evil 7. It's going back to the roots. Capcom did a really good job at making the game this, you know, open world. And I didn't even get a chance to mention this, but the game also has VHS tapes where you can go and review flashbacks of other people that have gone to the house before Ethan's arrival, including even Mia herself. And you can actually play through these flashbacks. And it's pretty awesome. And later on, the flashbacks also become the solutions to the puzzles. So if you actually find the VHS tapes and watch them, they actually are red herrings to what will happen later on. So definitely use any VHS tapes that you find. The game also has like documents and photographs that have like secret locations with cool items, or just documents that contain like the lore of the game. So there's tons you can do and tons to read and explore. I mean, it's absolutely amazing how much is packed into the world of this game. And that pretty much summarizes the gameplay of Resident Evil 7. I mean, it's just this like this horrifying open world. It feels like a haunted house, but also this game that just has so much packed into it for the experience. Continue on, and I'll move over to the soundtrack portion of the show. Welcome to the soundtrack portion of the show. The soundtrack of Resident Evil 7 is not very memorable. I think it's great in the sense that it's used to enhance the horror, but honestly, I don't even remember half the songs that were in the game. I mean, I know they had more of like a farmy vibe, like a like you're on a plantation in the South, and you're in this, so you're gonna hear like a lot more of like vibes like that. But honestly, I mean, the soundtrack just wasn't memorable. The only memorable song would have to be the introductory song, which plays every time you launch the game. And it's like a really cool, it's a really cool song. And it just like is a compendium of like what you'll expect when you play the game. The boss fight songs are also kind of cool, but they're instrumental. They're not like actual songs of like there's no one singing or anything like that. But yeah, the music is good, and it helps the environments, and you're going to hear a lot of good like environmental music that makes the experience more scary, but nothing too memorable. I think besides the introductory song, I think the save room songs are probably more memorable since you hear them more often, but yeah, that's about it. I mean, if you want to review on the save room song, if I can offer something like that. It's a good song. I mean, it's calming, but also like eerie. So, yeah, that's probably the best I can say with the soundtrack. As far as the sound effects go, they do incorporate into the gameplay very nicely. When Ethan walks, you'll hear his footsteps. When he's walking in like water, you'll hear him trudging through water. If he's on like a sticky surface, you'll hear that. If he's on a floorboards that are wood, you'll hear like the creaking of the wood. So they did a really good job with sound effects. You'll also hear like bugs, or you'll hear like enemies. You'll hear like the squishy sounds enemies make, especially like those weird creatures. You'll hear like there's a lot of different sound effects that you'll hear, and Capcom did a really good job with the world building of that. If you're in the mansion, you'll hear like clocks. You'll hear like just like people walking around. There's just so much sound going on in this game, and rightfully so. I mean, it's a horror game, so it's perfect that they actually did that, and it makes me happy because you don't necessarily need a great soundtrack in a game like this, especially because the sound effects carry the game and carry the actual plot and everything. So overall, I think the sound effects are great, and they really do a great job at building the world. The soundtrack could definitely have been better in terms of memorability, but it got the job done. It was effective. It worked, but I mean, it's nothing to write home about. Not even the Save Room song. I mean, it's... I think that the OST definitely could have done a better job. Even, like, with Resident Evil 2 Remastered, I mean, the soundtrack definitely wasn't crazy either. These aren't games with amazing soundtracks. They're good, they're effective for what they are, but they're not, like, perfect. Honestly, I mean, I've heard better from indie developers, like Toby Fox with Undertale, or like, you know, but I mean, the other thing too is that, you know, different game, different genre, different experience. I think the whole experience with a game like Resident Evil is that, you know, you're trying to be scared, so the kind of songs you're hearing aren't going to be something you'll hear in a lively, like, RPG. So I think the expectations are totally different. But if you're going into Resident Evil looking for a great soundtrack, you probably won't find that, but you will find a very scary experience in terms of the way the game world builds in terms of sound effects. And yeah, that pretty much summarizes my opinion of the audio in Resident Evil 7. Continue on, and I will talk about the suggestions. Welcome to the suggestions part of the show. So Resident Evil 7 is not the latest Resident Evil title. Resident Evil 2 Remastered is the latest. And a lot of the like gripes that I had with Resident Evil 7 got addressed in Resident Evil 2 Remastered. And one reason for that is Resident Evil 2 Remastered uses the same game engine as Resident Evil 7. One of the gripes I have with Resident Evil 7 is that the map system is really good, but it could be better. And one of the ways that Resident Evil 2 Remastered fixed it was by showing like item locations. So Resident Evil 2 Remastered would show like on the map where guns are, where ammo is, where basically any item at all would be shown on the map. Not only that, but the map would even show your character's like compass, what direction they're facing. It was absolutely amazing. Where in Resident Evil 7, they don't do that. It's just a map. And then it's blue if you explored something. It's black if you didn't. Places were labeled correctly, which was very nice, just like Resident Evil 2. But the map system was very generic. Very, very generic. So I'm really happy that Resident Evil 2 Remastered fixed that. Another suggestion that I have for the games, Resident Evil 7 had like this weird coin system where throughout the house you'd find coins. And when you'd go to like one of the hub areas, you'd have like these cages that where you use the coins. I feel like it's kind of a cop out, and I'm glad that Resident Evil 2 Remastered kind of like took out that like coin system, like this currency, in favor of puzzle based gameplay. And I think that for future Resident Evil titles, because I know that Resident Evil 2 Remastered is a remake, I think that they should ditch the currency and try to actually make more puzzles, or try to make it so that there's like items that are scattered around and you have to find those items to like solve the greater puzzle and then get the item. Because this whole like currency thing and finding the secret coins just to get a better gun, I feel like it's kind of a cop-out. And not only that, but nobody's going to search the entire house for all these little coins that you have to find. It's kind of ridiculous. And not only that, but like, I think there might even be a trade-off between like the two smaller items and one awesome item. It's just, I feel cheated in that kind of way, that I couldn't, in my first playthrough, get the experience of unlocking everything, or trying to unlock everything. It disappointed me very much. So I think they should definitely ditch that whole like currency thing. Resident Evil 7, in terms of like storyline and plot, I think they did a great job on that. However, the main campaign doesn't address something huge. And by the way, skip like the next 30 seconds or a minute if you don't want to hear this. So minor spoiler territory, starting now. One of the in-game like family members, you don't actually get to finish their boss battle. And it's not even that, like, you don't even get to fight them. And the reason for that is because it's a DLC. So I found that really weird, and I'm not really sure why it turned out that way. But yeah, I mean, the main campaign for Resident Evil, you're going to see all the family members and you're going to be able to like see them and like fight them, but you won't actually see the ending to one of them until the DLC, which is so annoying. I mean, I played the DLC. I didn't finish it, but I kind of have a good idea of how it ends, and I was able to read about it, and it's like, this totally should have been in the campaign to begin with. It makes me kind of disappointed that that was very anticlimactic, and they actually made that a DLC instead. In my opinion, Capcom should have just delayed the game, made this part of the main campaign, and somehow just finished it that way, because that, I mean, it's so anticlimactic. And not only that, but like, they, for that specific like antagonist, they did a really good job at like building their backstory and building like their motivations, or at least trying to, at least, and it worked. And it just makes me sad that they kind of like ditched that whole boss battle, because ditched that whole like idea. It didn't make any sense. I don't know. The DLC is fun though, and it's kind of messed. It's messed up, but they could have incorporated that into the main campaign, and I don't know why they didn't do that to begin with. Other than that though, that's pretty much all the suggestions that I have for Resident Evil 7 and what I hope to expect for Resident Evil 8. Other than that, that's all I have, and I will move on to the conclusion. Welcome to the conclusion part of the show. Here's where I just talk about my final thoughts on Resident Evil 7. Resident Evil 7 is kind of an older game now that it's been around for a couple years. I think it definitely stands well in terms of the test of time since the game came out a few years ago. If you have not stepped foot onto the Resident Evil 7 game, or like maybe you've watched some videos and you just never got around to trying it, or perhaps you bought the game and you maybe played like the first, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 minutes, a few hours even, and you just never finished it. I highly recommend that you go back to it and finish it. I am one of those people. I'm guilty of purchasing the game back when it came out, and it scared the crap out of me. And I told myself, well, I have to be in the mood to play this game because it's scary. And my brother at the time was playing the game, and he beat it and saw it through to completion. And he would tell me all the time, Joe, you got to complete it. You got to finish the game. And I always told myself, yeah, I'll do it. And I never did. And here I am now, like 2 years later, I finished the game, and I am so glad that I went into my backlog and picked it up and finished it, because not only is it a great game in terms of the storyline and the plot and the way that they, you know, integrated the Resident Evil like themes, but just a game from a gameplay perspective, it's refreshing, and it makes you feel smart when you solve puzzles. It makes you feel clever when you get past a tough, tricky situation in combat. I mean, there's just so many awesome themes, and the gameplay is just so fun. And there's a lot of Resident Evil like lore and things going on in this game, and it's definitely worth finishing through to completion in the end. And that's another thing I didn't really get a chance to talk about. The combat in this game is really, really fun. It's very similar to what you'd expect in previous Resident Evil games, so try to go for the head as much as you can. There's also like some minor melee combat as well. I mean, the combat was very spot on, and even though the game is first person, you shouldn't expect anything different. It's just a first person perspective. In terms of like inventory management and stuff like that, it's also pretty straightforward. I did find that I ran out of space pretty often, and but I also was on the easy difficulty, so it's possible that I was just getting more ammo, more items, and I was just running out of room. It's possible that harder difficulties might have more sparse item management, so that maybe that might be what happened to me. I was just having too many items, or I was on an easier difficulty. But anyway, overall, I really enjoyed my experience with Resident Evil 7. I'm really happy that I decided to go back and play it, because it's an amazing experience. It was a great game. There was a lot of plot twists and turns, and the whole like integration of the characters and their arcs and how they get resolved is really awesome. And especially near the end, there's a really big plot twist that I was not expecting. So I'm really happy that I was able to play it, finish it through, and ultimately see what happens and how they're going to integrate this with the Resident Evil 8 if it ever comes out one day. Which I totally believe it will, because Resident Evil is an insanely amazing, successful series. It's been around for years, and I have no doubts that we'll see another one. Hopefully, it'll be for all consoles, too. But anyway, I highly recommend Resident Evil 7. It's an amazing game. I played it on the PlayStation 4. It's also available on Xbox One in the United States and PC. Or, like I said, if you're in Japan, on the Nintendo Switch. But other than that, that's pretty much my final conclusion for the game. And I don't remember what the price was. I think it got knocked down to like 40, 30-ish now. So, which is still a good deal, as opposed to the $60 price tag. Overall, amazing game. If you are the kind of person that's like a horror junkie and you love like scary horror games, you'll definitely find this game a great experience. I also think you'll like the game a lot if you are into puzzle games or games that involve like backtracking to figure out what you have to do next. That's huge in this game. If you're more of an action-oriented person and you don't like backtracking and you don't like solving puzzles, you might get impatient. And if that's the case, I still recommend that you get the game, but maybe just have a walkthrough open. And if you get stuck, just have like a walkthrough open or have your phone nearby so you can Google something if you get stuck. That way you're not like spending too much downtime in between like the hallways and trying to figure out where what is, especially if you're not patient for those kinds of things. Obviously, if you're not a horror fan, I definitely don't recommend this game. It'll probably trigger you. If you're not a fan, also, if you don't like gore, guts, or anything, like if you find that like triggering, or if you find that like extremely gruesome that you'll vomit and from your couch, do not pick up this game. It's probably, of all the Resident Evil games I've played, this one's definitely one of the, like, if I had to rate it on a scale from 0 of being, like, chilling, and then 10 being like, oh my gosh, there's guts and blood everywhere. 10 is, I'd put it at 10. Like, it's on that scale of 10 being super insanely scary, super gory and bloody. That's just my opinion, though. Other people have different levels of like, of what they find scary and what they find like not scary. So, I'd mark mine as a 10. So take that with what you will, based on my other reviews. But yeah, that's pretty much my final opinion of Resident Evil 7. It's a great game, highly recommended if you are a fan of the genre, or I don't if you're not. But yeah, continue on and I'll move on to the show updates. Welcome to the show updates. I'm so sorry that I haven't been able to post any new episodes recently. Lately, I've been kind of going through a lot of different stressful times in my life, including just a lot going on at once. I hope to have a bunch of new episodes coming down the pipeline, though. And for all of you out there that are still listening, thank you very much for still listening. I really appreciate all of the support. I'm going to open up the Discord channel, so regardless if you support me or not, you'll be able to now access my Discord channel. And my Patreon page will now just be a regular page. If you'd like to support me, go ahead. If you don't want to, there's no problem there. But my Discord channel will now be available to everybody. And if you want to provide feedback on my show, feel free to head over to Patreon and grab the Discord link that way. Invite yourself into the chat and you can be able to talk to me there. Suggest for me any games you would like me to review. I will totally take that and check it out. Yeah, feel free to drop by, say hello. It's a very, very, very small community at the moment, which is totally fine. I mean, I have no problem like just talking to you guys or playing if anybody wants to play anything or just geek out and just talk about things. I really don't care. I'm totally down. But yeah, as far as future reviews in the pipeline, I'm still hoping to review Resident Evil on the Switch. And then I recently started playing a few new games. Recently, I've been playing Gems of War for Nintendo Switch. For any of you guys out there that are really that are fans of like puzzle games, or maybe if you've ever heard of a game called Puzzle Quest, which was around for Nintendo 3DS, Nintendo DS, for PS3, for Xbox. There was also a sequel, Puzzle Quest 2, which was on all consoles at the time, and even mobile consoles. I think it's even on like iPad and iPhone and Android. But anyway, Gems of War is made by the same company that made Puzzle Quest, and basically it's a spiritual successor to Puzzle Quest. And I've been playing a lot of that lately, so expect to hear maybe like reviews for that game. I think it came out like a few years ago as well. But the Switch version of the game came out like a week ago. Not even. I think roughly almost less than a week ago. And I've put in so many hours into that game, it's absolutely ridiculous. So expect to hear a review for Gems of War extremely soon. Other games that I've picked up recently, Final Fantasy VII for Nintendo Switch, that came out pretty recently as well. One of the awesome things about the Switch version of Final Fantasy VII is that it includes game boosters, which are basically like cheat codes that can be activated anytime you want by flicking down the analog stick. Final Fantasy VII's boosters include a fast forward mode, a battle assistance, which automatically refills everybody's HP, and then a no random encounters mode, so you can travel safely through environments without expecting a battle. That has made my experience with the game amazing, because now I can just grind for experience whenever I want, or I can just explore some of these pre-rendered environments without getting stuck onto the geometry and not have to like jump into a random battle on accident. So expect to hear a Resident Evil 7 Switch review very soon as well. Other than that, though, that's pretty much all I'm playing at the moment. So you're going to hear pretty much those two reviews coming very soon. Or three reviews, I should say, coming very soon. And I still play Fortnite. You might hear like a Season 8 review where I talk about a lot of the changes that Epic Games has made with the pirate theme and what I think of the skins and items. What I'm thinking about doing is a frequent like Fortnite update where maybe like every few weeks I'll review the challenges, or I might review like some of the updates that Fortnite puts in, since I still play Fortnite pretty regularly. But as far as that goes, it's pretty much all the games I'm playing at the moment, and that's pretty much what's in the pipeline. And yeah, so other than that, thanks very much for listening, and like I said before, feel free to reach out to me on Discord, or if you have the Anchor app, you can also follow my podcast and you can send me a voice message. I can listen to it. If you have any like comments or feedback, go ahead, drop some, let me know. But once again, thank you for listening, and hope you all have a good day, evening, night, wherever you are. Thanks for listening. I am your host, Joe Amadeo, and see you next time.
Do the mumble like a crazy woman.